Okay, now the next section just has one chart, which is the long-term U.S. Treasury bond T's, and the subtitle is uses MACD oscillator, which was invented by Gerald Appel some time ago to define the left side cash buildup of time symmetrical T's. We would call these T's VUSTX T's because it's coming from a long-term Treasury bond fund, and the title usually tells you what you're talking about for an investment. I didn't spend a lot of time on this chart because I was going to label all the numbered T's to discuss them, but I did want to just say that the MACD oscillator does have one characteristic which is important, but it's still not good enough to draw the T's. So this is really only a preliminary way of finding out what the cash build with the green lines in the oscillator. That's the descending tops pattern, and you can see that there's a there's a low in 2010 with a rally phase that broke a downtrend line from basically very early 2009, and that's got the T, and then the projected time spectral probably is called next washout, and then the previous T is making a projection of a top, which is called last washout. Okay, the other T's I just didn't bother to draw. I mean, I just threw the cash buildup phases in, but they look like they're okay for me. Just putting using a measuring stick to see whether they're okay. The problem with the advantage of the MACD parameters is that actually the default parameters aren't much help. But if you go back to that great 1987. T in the S&P 500. What you do is you take it's a monthly chart, so you take the percentage change from one month to the next, and that's your input. It's very much like on balance volume or on balance breadth figures. It's a differential that goes up and down every month. And then you put it into two moving averages, which are one is twice as long as the other, and that's how you get an oscillator that detects T's. What the MACD has is it has parameters which allow you to look at the difference of two moving averages, and I ended up with 36 and 72 because they're, 72 is twice times 36, and found out they're okay. To my knowledge, you can't get this kind of a chart. This is a weekly chart. You'd want to know what you'd want to put in there is not the trend of the fund, but its weekly percentage change, which could be a positive number or a negative number, not just the price by itself. It would take care of that. I mean, I can take care of that stuff when I get this data is available. And so we're pretty much on the interesting case of the fund. Well, it turns out what's interesting about bonds is that we'll see when I get to the Keltner bands, the final segment, is that if T's can project tops and bonds, and Treasury bonds are places where people go when things look like they're terrible, they're known as the bad news bonds, the projected peaks in this fund have to be when the market has basically digested its worst possible or a bad case. It's a little bit risky to draw these T's until you've done a complete study on them, but you can do it, and get this period here is probably good enough because you've got 20 years, and if you can get something that's really reliable, then you can start to base a strategy on it. In any case, the point is that you do have a T that in 06. One of the problems with this oscillator is that you always put the center post of the T at some kind of a price low, but this oscillator doesn't. I think it's one of the other parameters, maybe that last parameter, that causes it to drift off. So it's uncertain as to where to put the center post of the T relative to the oscillator. And it's very important that you get that part right, because that's the biggest source of error that you can find in T's. So in any case, but the point is that you get this big T that's got the red crossbar in it from the 06 low, and you have this rally that is very high coming into what appears to be a projected top date, and it's a very sharp spike up, and that in the psychological terms is a fear, because they went over nobody buys Treasury bonds, Treasury bonds unless they're in that kind of a price appreciation unless there's something, they're very much afraid of something. If you go back and you look in the 87 crash, I don't think they bought treasury bonds. I know they didn't buy gold very much. There was a spurt in gold, but it disappeared very quickly. And it probably was some kind of a spurt. But my memory on that one is completely clear. But I do not remember that treasury bonds had much of a spurt in the 87 crash. They just went over the money market fund because it was yielding money and so forth, and it was deemed to be completely safe. So in this case, the fact that you can get rises that look like they're coming into peaks, and peaks in bonds is big fear, suggests that the last T in this picture is going to give us the place where everybody's going to throw in the towel. Okay, and you can play that game in different ways. One of them is if you're in a management program, what you don't want to do, if you want to, was you're trying to look at the long-term picture. You want to go to the next washout level. Okay, but there's a terrible thing that happens in, like, the last washout. Everybody piled on, and that was into that washout occurred into the end of 08. And then if you hung around, you just lost a lot of money. And you know, if you take the difference between $12 and you come down to $11, you know, that turns about, that's kind of like a 10% loss there. So you're guaranteeing income that's not shown on the chart. But the whole idea here is that you're not supposed to do that. But if you're saying, you know, how long can this interest in bonds rally? Well, that's the next washout, and you can look at the time period in here, and it looks like it's, you know, sort of like about a year. So you can start to plan on what are you planning to do? You know, if they get all washed out, there must be an opportunity to buy something, and then the question is the price rally here is a decline in interest rates, and what's the effect going to be on gold and stuff like that? And so you can go into a lot of things. But this is probably the most interesting thing that I went through, is I found out that the MACD, using the two moving averages separated by twice, is beginning to show you T's that look like they're very important, because the T prior to the last one is a complex T. So you have the T in 04 is a short one, and you come up with a lower top. Then you go down to 06, and you get declining tops across. So that's a compound case of a T, one overlapping the other. Always is important to have that. And you can see that the momentum completely dominated this other the chart here, because it's the highest rise in momentum. This momentum so far in this chart looks like it's promising, because it's relatively steep. And it may top out someplace along the line, but, you know, why bet on it? As long as you have a pretty good idea that the next washout date is probably about a year from now or 10 months from now or something like that, you don't really worry about it. So that's probably the most important discovery, because now I know how to set up the bond oscillators. And it should work out fine, and I think it's going to be a very, very valuable tool for the future. Okay, that's it for this section. Now we go on to the next one, which is the Keltner bands.